We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Clint Sterner is out today. Enjoy yourself. In for him is Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. Check out his work. He does great work, covers all Houston sports. You can see his work there. And I think he just wrote something earlier today that you want to check out after the press conference from Nick Caserio. But it's 4 o'clock and it's Friday. That means the general, the Hall of Famer, John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions, is with us. How you doing, General?
Guys, I'm doing great. How are you? Brandon, it's great to be on with you. This is the first time I have been on with you.
Yeah, I think it is, John.
It's an honor.
Same here, John. I don't know if the people know this, but I have been following John my entire journalism career. John came and spoke to my sports journalism class 12 years ago at Sam Houston State with Mickey Herskowitz, another legendary sports writer here in Houston. Been following John ever since, so this is pretty cool. Had to get that out.
Well, I'm fired up about it.
You're right. Let's be fired up right now. And I'm fired up. I'm telling you, John, in that Zoom conference, had they come to me with the first question, I'd have turned it down. And I'd have said, this thing belongs to John. This one's, I'd have been like Pat Bowlen, this one's for John. I would have turned it down. You got back. You got off the schneid. You're back. And you asked the first question. And many people had questions about Deshaun Watson. And I'm curious, there was an obvious game plan that Nick Caserio was going to stick towards in any Deshaun Watson questions. How did you think, and what did you think about the approach they had?
Well, first of all, guys, we knew Caserio was not going to give us any information because he doesn't have any information. I think that if Watson were to be able to put his legal issues behind him before the draft in 2 weeks, I think there'd be teams interested, and I think they would trade him. If he can't and it's afterward, I think they could trade him before training camp, and if they didn't do that, the possibility would be trading deadline in October, maybe next year's draft. But, you know, Watson wants to be gone, and at this point, I believe the Texans would like to accommodate him, but they're not just somebody – say, hey, man, we'll give you a third-round pick. But as always, it was so important to try to do it before the draft when so many teams needed quarterbacks. Because other than Jacksonville, any team would take Watson over a quarterback they're going to draft, and there's supposed to be 5 going to top 10 picks. So once those teams get their quarterbacks on April the 29th, that lessens the impact of what they could get for Watson. And the way Caserio handled it, you know, I wrote a column that's on Texas Sports Nation. Those 20 years with New England, the most secretive and successful organization in football, served him very well today because he sidestepped, he dodged, he feinted here. He did a good job of talking and saying nothing. And that's the way a lot of executives want to do it. But especially for a guy like Caserio right now, because – you know, he doesn't know what's going on behind the scenes with Watson. All he knows is, you know, he's probably looking to sign about 5 more free agents and push it out. I think his goal must be 50.
Down. Set. All right, that's the General John McClain, Clint Sterner's Football at 4, presented by Horn Solutions. John McClain is. And sticking there a bit with Watson, John, have we reached a point where potentially the Texans – want to trade Deshaun Watson and part ways with him as bad as Deshaun Watson has wanted to part ways with the Texans?
Well, Ron, truthfully, I mean, I don't know how bad Watson wants out because we've never been able to talk to him. The last time we spoke with him was that end of the season Zoom call, which he gave no indication that he wanted to be traded, but he was unhappy with a lot of things that were going on around the organization. And, of course, the 4-12 record is every player on the team was. And so I don't know, but I can't imagine anything's happened to him with 22 lawsuits has made him change his mind about wanting to stay. I would imagine he wants to get away more than ever. And the Texans, I don't know how bad they want to trade him. You know, for the longest time, they didn't. They thought they could work it out. Caserio, new coach David Culley, they thought they could work it out with him. But once Watson talked to Culley weeks ago and Watson reiterated, you know, he wanted out and he would do whatever it took to de-trade it, that's when they made the decision, we're going to do it. But there were six teams that showed serious interest, I believe, seven or eight overall, and Caserio didn't talk to him. But the plan was he was going to start talking to him once they got through free agency around the 1st of April and give him almost a month to see who had the best offer. And, you know, if you're a Texans fan, I think be prepared for Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Finley, and I still think there's a good chance they're going to draft a quarterback. You know, what if Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask or Davis Mills were available with a 67th pick and say Caserio had a second round grade on them, would he take that quarterback? I believe he would.
So, John, this is the thing that I'm trying to understand, and I knew that Nick Caserio wouldn't answer this question when I asked it to him, but I felt like it needed to be asked and answered, at least just for the record. But if we could inject truth serum into Nick Caserio and get him to be honest about it, do you think that they feel like this opportunity may have been squandered to get the most for Deshaun Watson, given where we were and what could have been available to them before the draft? And now if they want to trade him, it's probably going to have to be after the draft. Do you think that they believe that the best opportunity to trade Deshaun Watson and the opportunity to get the most for him may have come and gone, or maybe coming and going?
Brandon, that would depend on if Watson were able to put his legal issues behind him within 2 weeks before the draft. And they had no idea. I'll guarantee you, when Caserio came here the first week of January and it just come out nationally that Watson was unhappy and might want to be traded, that he's thinking, okay, we'll work through this. I got to hire a new coach and then we'll work through this with Watson and let him know, you know, he's the centerpiece of what we're doing and we're going to make a lot of changes. And then I'll guarantee you he didn't have any idea about the depth, the determination Watson had to get out of town. And so when he hired David Culley, as Culley told us, he came here, he knew by then, everybody knew by then Watson wanted to be traded. But one reason they kept Tim Kelly, one reason they hired David Culley, one reason they hired Pep Hamilton, his quarterback coach, he's one of the best in the league, was they all wanted to work with Watson. Only Tim Kelly knew him, of course, from working with him the last few years. But I think it's been squandered, but not the Texans' fault. You know, they couldn't trade him before all these lawsuits started coming in, because you knew the longer you went, the more you were going to get when you had so many teams interested in him. And I never thought that they would drop down to Carolina at 8, Denver 9, 49ers at 12, Patriots 15, or Bears at 20. I always thought it would be the Jets or Dolphins, because that was the only way they could get another quarterback. But if Denver, you know, I have Denver in each of my mock drafts taking the last of the five quarterbacks available. And I know the Broncos are really interested in Watson, so they're not married to Drew Locke. So maybe, you know, they would, after this if this goes on and he goes on the exempt list next season, or if he's suspended, and a lot of people think he will be suspended under the personal conduct policy, it's just a matter of how long, and then when he appeals, if he can get it reduced. But you can put contingencies in there, conditions on a trade, which they do anyway, based on, you know, games played, based on statistics, where the team does. And but you need more than one team. And once these five are off the board, it's not going to be the same.
Brandon Scott in for Clint Sterner, who is out today, and that means it's Friday, 4 o'clock hour. John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. The General of the Hall of Famer, is in with us And I got to say this. Can we make this official? And I know you're at every single press conference. Can we make this official that Nick Caserio, he is not a Belichick clone. We've got enough of a sample size to see that he is not like Bill Belichick. He seems to have a different personality and has personality. He was saying jokes, albeit some of them weren't great, but he was saying jokes today. There is a clear, now that we've met with him three or four times, there's a clear difference that he's not just a clone of Belichick.
No, they're totally different. It was always interesting in New England when they talked about the free agency, after that initial wave, Belichick usually left and went on his boat sailing to start a free agency and let Caserio do the media. And then Bill did his pre-draft news conference, which he did this week. But Nick's a very personable guy. People like him. He's got a lot of personality. He learned in those 20 years with New England how to say a lot without disclosing anything. You know, he didn't seem put off today that we kept asking him the same question in a different way, and he kept coming back to his same answer. I thought he was going to tell Brandon what quarterback he's going to take in the third round.
I should have given him a name.
That's
right,
what
John?
He said.
I should have thrown out Kellen Mond.
I wish you had, because that would be great to see Kellen Mond here, because his stock has gone up, and you wonder, how could a guy's stock go up with no combine, no private workouts, no dinners or lunches with teams, no interviews, just in-person interviews, just a pro day for everybody with three people there. And what I'm told is, and John Lopez, he knows this because he's a diehard Aggie, that Kellen Mond has been impressing them with the mental part. When they throw things at him out quick, he responds in a manner that they're looking for. And he started a lot of games. You know, most of these quarterbacks didn't start a lot of games. You know, Mac Jones started one season. Zach Wilson, one season. Justin Fields, two seasons. Trey Lance, one season. And Trevor Lawrence started three. But Lawrence and Mond have the most experience. And I'd love to see him draft him. And I wish you'd ask him about Kellen Mond, because you know he would have said, Brandon, you know, We're just going to do what's best for the Texans.
Yeah, that was most of the answers that I got from him. But you know what, John? He surprised me. I just was not expecting him to joke with me and laugh.
Nobody was.
Wasn't expecting it, man.
No, he wasn't. John McClain, the Hall of Famer. He's with us through the 4 o'clock hour. And I want to lay – we're going to have to get in this Kellen Mond thing. I mean, they're going to use their first pick to pick a quarterback with everything they got here. We got to get into that. But I do have a scenario – about teams potentially trying to trade for Deshaun Watson that I'd love to get the General and Brandon's thoughts on. We'll get that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday, and that means we are here with John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions, the Hall of Famer, the General, and also Brandon Scott. He is in for Clint Sterner, who is out today. All right, so I want to throw this thought to both of you, all right? And my thought is, Deshaun Watson, we understand his talent and how good he is on the football field, and we understand the issues and trouble that he's potentially in right now. And I know you've said this a lot, John, that teams are on hold, and no one's really kind of making a move right now in terms of trying to trade for him. And my question is, I look at teams like Chicago and Washington, and I don't understand why they're on hold. I would be openly, right now, trying to make the deal work and to take Deshaun right now from the Texans. If I'm Washington, if I'm Daniel Snyder, I would be, give him two ones. I'll do it right now. I'll offer you two first-round picks to get Deshaun. Because to me, the cons are, do you believe Deshaun's never going to play football again? I think the odds are that are really, really low. Are you going to be able to withstand the blowback? John, I covered the Kansas City Chiefs. They stood by Tyreek Hill. That blowback was about 3, maybe 4 weeks. When Deshaun gets out there, I believe they'll be able to withstand the blowback. why not try to make it work, even though it's uncertain right now? We just had another lawsuit come out the other day. If you're a team like Washington or Chicago who's in badly need of this and you just look at it from a football perspective, why would you not just try to get a deal done right now?
22 sexual assault lawsuits. You don't know if he could do jail time, doesn't know if he'd be suspended. There's too much is up in the air. Washington would never be interested because of what they've had going on off the field and what Dan Snyder is facing in for his lawsuits of his own. But I just don't think anybody would just say, hey, we don't care. All we care about is we know he's going to be playing someday, and he will be, and he'll be a great quarterback again. But right now they're just, whew. You know, like in Kansas City, all the problems they had, they never had anything like this. What if one of those players they had been in trouble and there were 22 of them? You know, that's a little different than this one. This one is unprecedented to me. In the 45 years I've covered the NFL, I've never seen anything like it.
I understand that, but like you said, you think DeSean will play again, right?
Like you, absolutely.
You don't think his career is over.
He'll play and he'll play great at some point.
And I think the odds that he'll actually play next year are pretty high.
I think he'll play next season. So, I think he's going to miss part of it, but he'll play again.
Yeah, he'll get suspended. So if he's going to play next year and he's going to play, and you're a team, this is it, and you're going to get him cheaper on a lesser deal, that why fool around with it? What's the reasons to wait if, like, I mean, there's going to be a blowback, but it ain't going to be that bad. NFL fans have proven that.
So here's my thing, though, real quick. I don't know if the teams, like, we can say and speculate and feel like we're pretty sure that he's going to play again, because, like, we don't know how far this is going to go in the legal process, but absent of knowing, like, not knowing how far this is going to go, like, of the 22 lawsuits, of all the allegations, we've got, what, two or three that are being looked at by the Houston Police Department. That's a small number of the cases that have, or the allegations that have been made against DeSean Watson that have gone through the criminal process. We don't know how many more could come up. There's so much uncertainty on how, not just how is it going to play out, but what is even the next thing that's going to happen? Like, what's the next shoe to drop? I don't know how you trade for him without knowing
That's a great point, but obviously Ron doesn't care.
I care. I wish teams gave more of a rip about, like, how this thing looks. But I'm just saying, if all three of us have agreed that he's going to play again, and he's going to play again next year.
You two agreed. You two.
Okay,
I think he will, but I don't know that. I don't know what's going to happen next. Like, this hasn't gone to a grand jury. Obviously, he hasn't been indicted of anything or anything like that. I don't know where this thing is going.
I just think if I were
neither does a team.
The pros or cons, the odds are, and I'd like to come to you with this, John. The odds are really, really high, or really, really low to me, that he never plays again. All right? We've seen Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, I know there are more lawsuits, but we've seen situations. We've seen Kareem Hunt on tape, all right? But the odds that he never plays again are really low. And my thought would be, if you trade it for him, John, and let's say it does get to a point where it's even more serious than it is right now, and he does go to jail and there's some real significant time he misses, would that team have to pay wouldn't they get some kind of relief from the league or it would nullify the contract with DeSean Watson, even if he was on their roster?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. Brandon, those are great observations. I feel exactly like you do. We don't know. These are serious charges, serious lawsuits. I've read every word in it. They're powerful. They're disturbing. They're very emotional. And they're there for everybody to see. And I'll guarantee you, every team that is interested has read every word several times before they decide if they're going to be interested in DeSean. And I think it has to be behind him. I just don't see a team stepping up before the draft. And I don't see the Texans giving him away. Like somebody calls, okay, I'll give you a third-round pick tonight before the draft. I don't see that. I think that they would wait, and then you wait to see if training camp – or preseason, some starting quarterback gets hurt, or a quarterback doesn't work out. What if Sam Darnold is terrible for Carolina? and then maybe Carolina at the trading deadline or before next year's draft, they would be interested in trading for him and paying more than for a, say, a fire sale. But, you know, he's got to get these litigation behind him. I just don't see anybody, because he uses the word Brandon uncertainty, and that's exactly what it is, because these are serious charges and people want to know the answers. And I don't know if we'll ever know the answers, because he's innocent until proven guilty. And the women certainly deserve their day in court and to be heard. And so this could drag out, but whenever he gets it behind him and the litigation is over, whether he's gone to criminal court, civil court, whatever, there will be teams interested in him. And because they know he's still only 25, great quarterback coming off a tremendous season and under contract through 2025.
And I think it makes a lot more sense for the Texans to want to keep him at this point than it does for another team to want to trade him. Because the point I think you were trying to make earlier, Ron, about the money in his contract, and could there be a way for them to void the guarantees in his contract or go after the guarantees if he's found to violate some kind of moral clause in the contract or something like that? Yeah, I'm sure the Texans could do that, but like if a team gives up a bunch of assets for him, you're just stuck like Chuck. Like, you just gave up. Say the worst case scenario does play out with Deshaun Watson, you're stuck like you just gave away all of these assets. Maybe you don't have to end up paying them, but you're not getting those draft picks back. But, like, yeah, like that's just basically set on fire. So on to that end, I'm like, well, you know, that is risky. And then also, can you trade for a guy of a player of Deshaun Watson's caliber and notoriety and have to stash him, like a guy that you can't bring out into a press conference or, again, market him or put him in a commercial? Like, can you trade for a player like Deshaun Watson, again, of his caliber, of his notoriety, and then have to hide him? Like,
yes,
I don't think you can do that.
Because you won't have to hide him that long. The league and fans have shown that they can walk over this. They can walk over. I hear people in Houston now still screaming for Kareem Hunt to the Texans to have signed Kareem Hunt.
Right, but that's if he's cleared, though.
And he's on video beating up a woman. Like, he's on video with it. So football fans have shown that it is a risk, that there's no way that he's just going to be, oh man, we can't, like, the teams are, there's so much backlash that we can't deal with them. NFL fans have been able to turn the corner when that person's been really good. All right, Clint's out. Brandon Scott is in. John McClain is in, presented by Horn Solutions. What did you think about when he started going into the draft? Nick Caserio, the GM, spoke, saying that the thoughts of going up and down. How do you vision him? There's a lot of movement from him when he was with the Patriots. Do you see them trying to get back up into the draft?
No, I could see them going down. They had the 67th pick. Even though they signed a lot of players at most positions, they still need a good corner, and they always need another pass rusher. They signed DeMarcus Walker, defensive end from Denver. They announced it today. He had agreed yesterday. And Walker started last season 4 games, played in 13, had 4.5 sacks. That had been number 2 on the Texans. The year before, he started 1 game and he had 4 sacks. He was a second-round pick in 2017, so he can go from being in a 3-4 back to a 4-3, which should be his natural position. And he had an injury last year, but he's okay. And I'm fired up about that, because I love seeing guys in 3-4s who play outside linebacker. They want to get in and play defensive end, and they can put their hand in the dirt and get up the field. And so that they still need – you can't have too many. And it was pointed out today to Caserio that the Patriots always made a lot of deals for DBs, and they drafted a lot of DBs. And as he pointed out, you know, it depends on what else you got. But I feel like they need a corner, and I think they need a defensive lineman anywhere. Really, they need another tackle. Right now, who would be their other tackle? You'd have Aminahou, Shaq Lawson, and maybe a minute at tackle, And then you would have Ross Blacklock at tackle.
And Malik and Collins was the one I thought.
Malik Collins. They got a lot of guys that are coming off injuries or mediocre seasons who have played well at one point. And when they have them on short-term contracts, if they stay healthy, they're going to be really hungry. But I could see Caserio trading down a little bit just to get another pick and maybe even another pick next year. But I don't see him trading up. Although he's made so many deals, truth is, this is the first time he's ever been in charge. No telling what Nick Caserio is going to do, but we know he's not going to sit on his hands.
John McClain with us throughout the 4 o'clock hour. Text in 713-572-4610. Dear John, any questions you want to ask the general, sports or non-sports related, he will answer them. And we talked to him about cornerstone players. We talked to Nick Caserio about potential cornerstone players. He didn't name any. Is that a mistake? Are there cornerstone players? We'll talk about that with John coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. The Hall of Famer is with us. Brandon Scott, he is in for Clint Sterner. Clint is out today. 713-572-4610 in about 10 minutes. Dear John, any question you want to ask, sports related or non sports related, the general will answer. I asked Nick Caserio, the GM of the Texans, John, you've made over 70 moves since he's taken over as the general manager, and that's a ton of turnover on the roster. And I asked him if there were any cornerstone, any players on the roster that are just build around guys they have, and he didn't mention any players. Do you think, John, that the Texans at this moment really just don't have those type of players, or are there those type of players that maybe he didn't speak of?
Well, I think it was a good question, but I never thought he was going to give an answer, because if he'd have said one player, that would have made others look bad.
Really?
If you look at offense, I think Laramie Tunsil's a cornerstone left tackle, perennial Pro Bowl left tackle. I think Titus Howard has a chance to be. At wide receiver, Brandon Cook's coming off another 1,000-yard season. And I think he's a really good receiver. They have some backs that used to be good that haven't had good seasons lately. Tight ends, no. Defense, Zach Cunningham is their best linebacker. Defensive lineman, they don't have one. Secondary, I don't think Bradley Roby is. He'll miss that first game. Safety, Justin Reed could be. Justin, like so many others, didn't play as well last season as he did the year before. So those are guys that you don't need to draft or sign players for their position. They're solid, but just about everything else is up for grabs.
Yeah, I think that the awkward part about the question, or maybe the answer to the question, is that they do have a cornerstone player on the roster. It was just the one that I think he went out of his way not to name in this particular.
But I think they got more than that. Like you said, like Titus Howard is a guy you want to build around. You draft him in the first round. He's a tackle that could play right and potentially move to the left side. And like John said, to me, I think Justin Reed is somebody that you could look at as a potential guy that you see here for a while. That's a build around, especially with his leadership. I don't know what it would have been wrong to leave. Like, if Ross Blacklock's feelings are hurt because his name didn't get mentioned as a cornerstone player, that's on him.
I don't think his feelings would get hurt. And since you brought up Blacklock, last year's second round pick, you guys know from watching NFL so long, players usually make their biggest improvement between their first and second seasons. But now if they have another virtual offseason program, that would slow some guys' development. It would hurt a team like the Texans with so many new players and coaches and a new system on defense. But I think Blacklock, going back to something Romeo Crennel said last year about, he basically was saying he's not for this system. He'd be better for a 4-3 without saying that. But I think Ross Blacklock and Charles Aminihu is the one I look to make the biggest jump playing in a 4-3. It's so different as far as the guys in the front seven, especially linebacker You know, I've never known a defensive lineman who didn't rather play in a 4-3 than a 3-4 and just be responsible for one yet instead of two. And they're not bereft of talent. But the key is for this team right now, Tyrod Taylor, who did a good job as a starter at Buffalo, but then the last two times he's had starting jobs, Cleveland 2018, Chargers last year, he's gotten hurt early in the season and turned it over to a first-round pick, Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert, and the rest is history for the Browns and the Chargers. So I'd love to see him at 31 stay healthy and be able to be the player he's capable of being. Now, nobody's going to compare him to Deshaun Watson. The only next time somebody is getting paired to Watson is if they have a high pick in 2022, and I believe most of us think they will, and say there's a quarterback they take high like that, then he's the one that's going to hear about a lot of comparisons to Watson.
John, when you look at the players that are left on the team that were drafted, and I don't have all of them in front of me, but you know, I guess sort of the ones I'm thinking of, the Zach Cunninghams and Justin Reeds, obviously you mentioned Titus Howard, Max Sharpen is still on the team. Not to belabor the point or to beat a dead horse with Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain and Rick Smith's draft class, but, I mean, when we look at it, there are not a ton of players that have been drafted by the team that I guess maybe we would count as cornerstone guys like Show was getting at. Do you think that there's any more added pressure with this draft, especially and even without, you know, picks in the first couple of rounds to get it right, considering that the draft classes haven't been like overwhelming?
I think there's more pressure when you do have first and second round picks because you're supposed to hit a home run in the first round, although teams miss out about 50% of the time. When Rick Smith was here, they did a better job drafting players in the first round than any team in the league. And if they weren't still playing here, they were playing somewhere else. And so a guy that I respected so much with the Oilers, Mike Holovac, who was a personnel director in the 80s and then became general manager, he said anybody can draft in the first two or three rounds. That's not what sets apart a good general manager. What sets a good part of general manager is what you do in the middle rounds and the low rounds. And I'm always eager to see that. Like in 2018, they didn't have the first two picks, and Brian Gain jumped all over Justin Reed in the third round because we all thought he was not going to be there. And so you never know who might fall, especially maybe a quarterback, although teams tend to reach on them. So I'm guessing Kellen Mond won't be there. I think he'll go in the second round. But, man, if he was, I have no idea what Caserio thinks about him. But if he were there and Caserio likes him, I guarantee you'd get him in a heartbeat. The fact that he's an Aggie, that would make people watch him even more carefully, his development. But they need – you know, this is going to be a bad team. They need a – it's pretty obvious from the moves Caserio has made that by getting rid of so many players that they think this roster needs an overhaul. And I think we all knew it was coming. And so, yeah, they've got, you know, J.J. Watt was a great draft pick, but he's gone. You know, Bernard McKinney was a good draft pick who got hurt last year, and he had been somebody you could count on every play of every game. So some of those guys are gone who played well for a while, but they need an infusion of talent and youth.
John McClain with us here, presented by Horn Solutions. We're coming up close on Dear John. Real quick, John, you really think the Texans would entertain Kellen Mond with their top pick? I mean, this is, you talk about a new, they're trying to get an overhaul of this roster. They don't have any picks in the top 60. You think they would draft a quarterback in Kellen Mond, somebody who potentially won't help the team immediately with their top pick?
Absolutely, Ron, I do. If it was somebody that Caserio had second-round grade on who fell, or maybe he just likes the guy. Now, he signed to Rod Taylor. He traded for Ryan Finley to be the backup. They need another quarterback. There was a rumor out there, could it be Alex Smith? Alex Smith's not going to go somewhere to be the third quarterback. And they didn't trade for Finley to be the third quarterback, and they didn't sign Tyrod Taylor to be the third quarterback. They signed him to be the starter, a placeholder, till they get the next quarterback. But if I thought they had Mond or Kyle Trask or Davis Mills rated high and worth that pick? I think yes, because you can't just automatically say, we're going to get a quarterback next year. They said that in 2013. He had the first pick in 2014. There was no quarterback worth it. And they took Jadeveon Clowney, 2006, same thing. No quarterback worth it. And they took Mario Williams because they were still hoping they could make something out of David Carr. So you can't just, there's no Trevor Lawrence next year, and they don't know if they're going to be the first pick. So if they say they took Mond and he didn't work out, he'd still take quarterback next year.
All right. That's John McClain. We do this each and every Friday at this time. Dear John.
Let's kick off the weekend by asking the most respected Houston sports writer of all time anything you want. Submit your questions to the text line 713-572-4610. Include hashtag Dear John along with name and city. And for today's Dear John, let's open up the mailbag.
All right, John, first up, we got Rusty in Kingwood. He says, Dear John, since defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson has been released, is there any chance Nick Caserio signs him to this Texans team?
Rusty, I'm never going to say there's no chance because Caserio has signed so many players, but I don't think Richardson's going to come here on a one-year deal for close to the minimum. I just don't see it. I think at this point in his career, he thinks he's going to do better. But you can't rule it out, but I'd be surprised.
So, John, do you think that he's the type of player and what they're looking for? Do you think he would be a guy that would be someone they would even entertain?
I don't know. I haven't paid much attention to him lately. You know, he hasn't been the player he was supposed to be. And if I'm him at this season, this stage of my career, I want to try to go to a playoff team. I'm going to take less money if I've done well with my money, so I have a chance to go to the playoffs, and this team's not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, the only way I could see it is if it's like one of those Tyrann Mathieu, one-year prove-it deal type of situations, and if he's trying to get that, maybe that audition for that next deal, if he's kind of caught between the sides, so to speak.
You know, Mathieu got 1 year at $7 million, turned it into $13 million. So maybe if Richardson had no other offers, and I think then he might do something like that if they were interested.
I got to figure the pass rush out somehow, John, so I hope they do something. Sign somebody. Someone out there. Oscar and Sheldon, Dear John, can the Texans win more than four games as the roster sits right now today?
Oscar, they couldn't win more than four games last year with Deshaun Watson playing great and having his best season of his career in every statistic, so I'd say no.
They get a 17th one, though. They get an extra one to play with, John. They do.
That's
have
just another loss.
I was just going to say, that's just another opportunity to lose,
they
man.
They have the lowest Super Bowl odds right now early in Vegas and the lowest win total at 4.5. They really the worst team?
Who's worse? Jacksonville lost 15 in a row last year, and now they got Trevor Lawrence, and I don't think he's going to step up and set the world on fire, but I wouldn't say they're worse than the Texans.
Are the Jets better than the Texans?
Well, they'll play a rookie quarterback, and the Texans will play a veteran quarterback who might be worth maybe a win or two. The Jets are going to be bad again. That's why it would have been so good for the Texans to be able to trade Watson to the Jets and get high picks the next 2 years.
What a sad fight. Are we worse? Are they worse? Who's bad is worse?
Quite depressing.
It used to be, can the Texans get beyond the second round of the playoffs?
We miss those days, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Boy, don't we, though.
Do we miss Bill O'Brien?
Ooh.
Why are you trying to do this on a Friday at 4:49, John?
The awkward conversation that nobody wants to have. Yeah.
Show is grabbing the mad dog right now. Okay, we got Jordan in Midtown. Dear John, are you surprised by the contract that Jadeveon Clowney got from the Browns?
Yes, because this is his fourth team in 4 years. I thought to get that with a chance to make $10 million, I'm happy for him. I'm for all players getting everything they can get. And a lot of people were curious about the money they gave him, considering he'd done so little since 2018, his last season with the Texans. But he played his best seasons when he was opposite J.J. Watt. Now he's going to be opposite Myles Garrett. If Clowney can stay healthy, he'll be good. I don't think he'll be great. Great against the run, good against the pass. So I'm surprised, but happy for him.
You're right. I hope we can finally stop with this charade that he's some sort of great player. Right? He's a solid player and a good player that doesn't impact the game the way he should at the position he plays.
See, I feel like you're misrepresenting that a little bit, though, Ron, because at the time when he was traded,
clowny truth,
he was an elite talent. There's no way, and you watch the linemen. There was no way you could watch Clowney and think, man, that guy stands out. He's one of those guys that even if you don't know what you're looking at, sticks out.
As I said, Brandon, can we put this away right now, today, that he is not some sort of great player?
He is no longer an elite player, I think, at the
time. The best play he's ever made was still at South Carolina.
He's never been an elite player. He's been a great player, not elite. He had a great season.
What I was going to say, what is the difference between a great player and an elite player?
Elite is Aaron Donald. A great is Chris Jones.
And Aaron Donald's got an elite left hook.
We're splitting hairs now.
Yeah, he does.
All right, we got time for one more, John. We got Taylor over in Missouri City. He says, "Dear John, which do you think will be more likely, that Nick Caserio trades up in the draft or trades back for more picks?"
Back for another pick. I don't think he'll get two picks for a third-round pick unless a team's desperate and loves Kellen Mond, and he doesn't, or Kyle Trask or Davis Mills. I don't see him getting two picks in this draft. I could see him getting one in this one and one in the next one. But I do think he's going to make some trades because it's just not his nature to sit around and do nothing. And he's going to have to do that for two rounds. And I think Caserio will be, I'm not going to say wheeling and dealing like they often did in New England, but I do think he'll make a trade or two.
All right, John, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we can't wait to hear from you coming up next week. And Clint will be back, but we enjoyed you as always. Be safe and have a good weekend.
Ron and Brandon and Tyler, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Brandon, let's do it again sometime. You guys have a great weekend.
Can't wait. Thanks, John.
All right. That is John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions, working with Brandon Scott for the second time. last time he just thought it was Cecil, but that's all right.
Thanks, Cecil.
Thanks for that work, Cecil. All right. Listen, it was a big day for Nick Caserio as he met with the media here in Houston. But how did he fare? Was it a winning day for Nick Caserio? We'll discuss that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.